Welcome back, my friend. Chef and a Fat Man live at the always fashionable Cook's Warehouse in exciting East Cobb. Well, as we promised you and shamelessly teased you throughout the show, we have got a very special guest. We wouldn't announce him because if we announced his name and then something broke down and we couldn't, you would be so disappointed. But we're going to offer you, in a real sense, a box of chocolates, just like life. We're going to introduce you to a gentleman who is a creator, a revolutionary, a CEO, a president, and now an author. He is the incredible Scott Barnett, and his book is, and I know you'll love this, his book is all about gumption, taking Bubba Gump from movie to restaurant. Scott Barnett, welcome to Chef and a Fat Man, brother. It is great to talk to you today.
Well, thanks so much for having me.
I'll tell you, you know, you have to look at your story. Now, a lot of people, especially in today where success and wealth is almost demonized, you literally took it from the parking lot and behind the bar to behind the oak desk. Tell us a little bit about your incredible, your story. And by the way, you didn't need an upper graduate degree.
No, that's true. I actually started in the restaurant business as a result of I got hurt in a motorcycle accident and I was saving up money to go to college working in a gas station. When I got better, I was able to get a job as a valet parking attendant at a restaurant. And one night a hostess came out and told me, "You're going to be bussing tables tonight." So I went in and it was hard work, but the hours flew by and everybody I worked with was a lot of fun. And they, not only that, they paid you for it. So I was sort of hooked at that moment. I ended up eventually going to college and I worked my way through as a cook, bartender, waiter, all kinds of dishwasher, what have you, and ended up getting into the restaurant business with a company called Rusty Pelican Restaurants in California. And I ended up becoming the CEO of that company just before we had to put it through a Chapter 11 reorganization, that is. As I've often said, I got that job because nobody else wanted it. And we were able to reorganize it, and I had a great team of people around me. And we were then approached by Paramount Pictures with the idea of doing a restaurant around the movie Forrest Gump, and, of course, the rest is kind of history.
Well, you know, you're very modest. You're very modest because in the copious amounts of research I did on you, I mean, it was not an easy path. When you broke into the boardroom at Pelican, it was at a very tough time. And you had to make some draconian decisions right out the bat. And you were the fledgling. You were the newbie. You were in a group of sharks. And for you to step in and start doing all this stuff, it must have ruffled, I can't imagine how many feathers.
Well, I was definitely I was the youngest and I was the greenest. And there were some people, you know, who were my, I was part of a group where I was a divisional president at the time. And the rest of them in the group were some pretty strong-willed, pretty smart guys. And so I had to prove myself pretty quickly and pretty clearly. And part of it was just developing my own style as I moved along. And of course you make mistakes along the way, but hopefully you learn from them.
There was a great quote by a CEO: "People are the most important asset you've got and need to be at the center of every decision." Who said that?
I think that may have been me.
Well, you know, it really was, because if you look at the matrix and the model, it is profit first, sometimes customer second or third, and then you work the matrix down. You literally took that matrix and flipped it.
Yeah, I did. And it was really because, in my mind, a good business is done like a building block. And in fact, I'll tell you what it's a lot like. If it's Coach John Wooden at UCLA, who was, you know, the greatest basketball, maybe the greatest coach of all time, he had a pyramid of success. And when I look at the way businesses operate, I look at it as kind of a pyramid too. And the basis of those that pyramid is really the people you have working with you, because it doesn't, I mean, you really have to have the best people, and they've got to not only be the best, they've got to be the best at working together. And if they can do those two things, then you can make the other things happen with those people. But if you don't have them, forget about profit, forget about revenue, forget about that, because it's all going to come down to, I don't have the right people, I'm never going to get there.
And you know, you weren't stuck in structure so much. You were looking for creativity. You were looking for out-of-the-box thinkers that had drive, ambition, could work well. And you weren't worried about dress codes. You weren't worried. You just wanted great people. I mean, even the way you approach sitting down with the customers at the table, you really broke the mold.
Well, in a lot of ways we did. We would tell, I remember we used to do these employee roundtables at every one of our restaurants, where I would go around and talk to them all. And without managers present, without anybody else there, just me and these employees, and try to get an idea of what things were like and what they thought could be done to make the company better. And one of the servers in San Francisco said to me, when I was asking them about what they thought about our service style, and the guy looks at me and says, well, you know, what it really is we're just trying to make a friend for 45 minutes to an hour. And I couldn't really articulate it any better than that. It really was the case. And that was kind of the basis for how we developed it. And our people really came up with that way of thinking. And we encouraged it. I don't really care who you were, where you came from, or, you know, what race you were or whatever. It all had to do with who are you? Are you good at what you do? And are you somebody who can make this work for everybody?
We're talking to Scott Barnett. He is, of course, the author of a smash book. I mean, it's something that I haven't had a chance to read it, but everything I've read about it is something for those of you who want or dream of success, for those of you who believe it can be in your grasp, this is a book you got to have. It's called Gumption, Taking Bubba Gump from a Movie to Restaurant. And Scott, one of the interesting things, you know, it wasn't, I mean, you literally had just come 18 months out of Chapter 11. You were reorganized, and then all of a sudden Paramount comes up with this crazy idea, and they shopped it around. But you guys, maybe it's because of your creativity, out-of-the-box thinking, and great approach, but you guys landed the deal with Paramount, and you can't have said to yourself, oh, heck, we got this. This is going to be great.
Well, we didn't know, and we didn't know whether it would be a success, but we were definitely willing to give it a try. And as we looked into things, what we learned was there was an unforced translation from the movie to a restaurant. It made sense that the restaurant would exist. And on top of it, years later, for a long time, I would continue to get people come up to me and say, you know, I always knew you had the shrimp company. I never knew you had the restaurant. And it was really a case of life imitating art. So it made sense that it would exist. And we were able to translate the movie into a restaurant pretty successfully. And, you know, worked out.
Well, you know, at the time, of course, Bubba Gump was a movie that captivated America. It's, you know, Tom Hanks did an amazing job. And I don't know if you know this. I was actually one of the people that I was at the time 300 pounds and about 5'10". So I was one of the guys that tried out to be Tom Hanks' character. And the only thing I think I missed on was the accent.
But might have been one or two other things.
You are the art of discretion, if nothing else, Scott. But you know, the thing that I really loved about your story is, I mean, so you take this. Was there ever a concern? Because at the time, Bubba Gump was still hot, still fresh in everybody's mind. Did you ever think, because at the beginning, that's a great launch point, because it's not hard to market something that's still hot and very. Did you ever worry that there would come a time where the next generation or 10 years down the line, Bubba Gump out of sight, out of mind, and then it would have to run on its own? Was that part of what you had to create?
Yeah, no, absolutely. That was always a concern. And it was a concern of our investors. It was a concern of everyone. And so our whole plan was we wanted to create a brand called Bubba Gump Shrimp Company Restaurant, as opposed to the Forrest Gump Restaurant. And we wanted that brand, after a period of time, to be able to stand on its own. And to be a restaurant brand that people would feel confident about, that they felt they could rely upon, And that was really the goal. And I think that over a period of years, we did succeed in that. I think the record is really pretty clear. I mean, we didn't have any years where the sales were down in these restaurants, because they were always popular and they continued to grow. And I think also, I mean, it kind of brings up a point, actually. I don't know where you were going, but there's something called eatertainment that came about in the mid 90s. And eatertainment was considered the kind of the mix of entertainment and restaurant. And there are just a ton of restaurant concepts that were
Chuck E. Cheese, all those kind of things.
Yes, yes.
The Disney concepts.
That's right. And I think that what happened in those cases is people forgot that you have to be a restaurant first, and then you can have an entertainment element to it. So the restaurant business is really about hot food hot, cold food cold, service with a smile, in pleasant, clean, interesting, fun surroundings. And if you deliver on those things, then you can add your entertainment element to it to make it something unique. We were really, at Bubba Gump, we were trying to create not just an experience that people could come and watch, but we were trying to create an experience they could come and be a part of, that there was an engagement about what it is we did. There was something that was really exciting about it, because ultimately, we weren't just selling you a meal. We were selling you an emotional souvenir, and we wanted you to come away with that emotional souvenir saying, you know, that was memorable. That was really different. It was a unique experience. I want to go back. And that was really, going back full circle to your question, that's creation of the brand Bubba Gump Shrimp Company restaurant, which we were trying to do.
Not only tried, but succeeded extraordinarily well. 10 years of sustained growth before you decided to take the leap out and go to Hong Kong. Scott, unfortunately, our time is up. What an amazing story. What an absolutely wonderful opportunity to sit down and talk with you. And I look forward to following your happy trails down the culinary road, and hope you'll come back and join us real soon. And next time you're in Atlanta, please look us up, and maybe we'll invite you into one of our shows and kitchens and put you to work and have some fun.
That'd be great. Be sure to go to gumptionbook.com if you want to hear more about the book, too.
I certainly will. And thank you so much. Thanks to Amy from your PR company that made all this happen. Continued growth, my friend, and continued great success. We'll be following it anxiously.
Thanks very much.
That's all for my friends. That's it. Chef and a Fat Man, the Blue Collar Chefs. We'll be right back as we continue to take it to the streets for you, our loved fans.